Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. A new book of poems takes inspiration from a translation of Chinese poems. DeWitt Clinton places the poems in a contemporary landscape of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. In his new book, By a Lake Near Moon, Fishing with the Chinese Masters, he explores loss and his time as a soldier in Vietnam. Clinton is a poet and retired English professor from the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. Prior to his interest in Chinese poetry, he wrote about the Holocaust and other world genocides. Clinton spoke with Lake Effect's Becca Schimmel about his new book.
What drew you to these Chinese poets after really examining work that's very different from that work focusing on the Holocaust? It's such a change.
What drew me is exactly that, Becca. The change was so refreshing. It provided insight into a type of poetry I wasn't familiar with, hadn't read too much of, and I hadn't read any Chinese poems in translation before. And they were just so simple and emotional and human. And I couldn't believe how these poems of classical China, roughly 8th century to maybe the 13th century, were so modern that the emotions and experiences of the individuals these poets were writing about seemed fresh, very contemporary, and I was just so surprised. Something new to me. I, of course, had written poems about what I had observed over the years, but nothing like this.
And how did the work of these Chinese poets become such a great influence on your work that you wove that inspiration into each one of your poems?
I have a long history of responding to art or history or geography of a new place. I have written some poems based on the Maya and the Aztec and the Inca. I've written about the Holocaust and Auschwitz by layering that experience with quotations from the Tao Te Ching. So I have an interest in sort of juxtaposing unlike works of art together. I also have responded to paintings, to verses from the Torah or the Old Testament. So I have a long interest in sort of, it's not an intentional interest. It's reading something and being inspired so much by it that I start responding as a writer, as a poet. And I think I was finding myself responding to each one of these. I started making a little notebook. And after about a dozen of these, I thought, well, maybe I could have a little tiny book. I just kept writing because, frankly, like I was enjoying the process immensely.
There's also a sense of loss that comes up here and there throughout in the works that you included. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sometimes the poets write about why hasn't anyone visited him. Others are about responding to deaths in the family or deaths of neighbors. And some are poems of grief and loss for their husbands who have gone off to war, or a conflict like that. And those awakened in me experiences I've had in Vietnam. And so I would sometimes be writing about an army major escorting a soldier in a coffin back to his hometown. And the poem I was reading from triggered that memory of this major escorting a military escort of this soldier. So sometimes it's like that. And there never was any plan to write about the same exact theme, but often I tried to keep the same tone, the same mood that these Chinese poets were writing about.
One of the examples that makes me think of just kind of that loss is that after 9.5 miles of indoor running, fatigued, hungry, rested, and filled with a bowl of oatmeal. Would you mind reading that piece?
Well, this poem also includes a reference to being concerned about returning to university life and teaching students in the classroom and student conferences and grading student papers. Now, to give you a sense of what that poem looks like in the original, here is Kenneth Rexroth's translation of Du Fu. Everywhere petals are flying and spring is fading. 10,000 atoms of sorrow whirl away in the wind. I will watch the last flowers as they fade and ease the pain in my heart with wine. Two kingfishers mate and nest in the ruined river pavilion. Stone unicorns, male and female, guard the great tomb near the park. After the laws of their being, all creatures pursue happiness. Why have I left an official career swerve me from my goal? A lot of the Chinese poets ask these deeply troubling questions about their life. So this is what I wrote. Mallards and Canadians descend onto the slippery patches of the lake. Food is more scarce now, just inches below the crust of the frozen waves. The bouquet you bought at Pick and Save brought spring into our home. Only the petals are falling each minute and will be gone before you leave. In Lake Park, the general has not moved ever from his guardian stance. That's where we last saw our Angela, before she slowly wound a noose to say goodbye from a rafter. Lately, HuffingtonPost.com offers more tips on how we can all be happy. Away from work, does anyone suspect I'm home? Writing lines from Du Fu. The reference to Angela is Angela Peckinpah, who was a Milwaukee poet who also taught at UW-Whitewater and in great sadness took her life.
That piece really stuck out to me. And now even knowing that Angela was also a poet whom you knew really just deepens the understanding and feeling you get from that piece.
One of her books has a cover of The General in Lake Park. It's just a few blocks east of UWM campus. And in that park is the huge Civil War statue of this general. And I believe one of Angela's book covers has that, which made me think of that when I was writing about her. But sometimes I'm surprised what evolves out of responding to a Chinese poet. Through Kenneth Rexroth. Sometimes a writer knows where that writer is going with a narrative and wants to continue it and has plans and expectations. But with these Chinese poets, there were always these sudden jumps, almost like leaping poetry of the 1970s. You'd be following a line of thought, and then out of nowhere comes an image that's just stunning. And sometimes Kenneth Rexroth's translations did that for me. I was trying to capture some of that. He didn't want his collection of 100 poems from the Chinese to be an exact translation. He turned these poems into poetry of the 1970s, American, with Chinese references, which is sort of complex because it's not the 9th century.
And throughout the book, the reader has this sensation of stopping with you and being within the reflection of a moment. How did you manage finding the right poem to pair with your life in Wisconsin to make that reflection, to create that visual connection?
Well, in many ways, it's a long habit of responding to art. If you go to the Milwaukee Art Museum, or if you listen to a concert at the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra, or if you read some wonderful poem that inspires you to jot a few lines down, it's a lot like that. It's that tradition of responding to a work of art, whether it's an improvisation or an adaptation. Not every poet, not every novelist does that, but there are a few who do. And it's become, I think, part of my work.
You also write about a bit of your past military service and experience. such as in the poem More of February. Could you read that one and tell me a little bit more about it?
In June of 1969, a howitzer firebase in Vietnam was overrun by North Vietnamese soldiers who were armed by the Soviets. And one of those soldiers had a flamethrower, which scared everybody. And there were about 19 soldiers that died, and maybe as many NVA soldiers as well. And it's a memorable day. So this poem makes reference to that. This is a very difficult poem for me. After watching another NCIS episode, I retreat to my office to read I Pass the Night at General Headquarters by Du Phu. Every day we receive updates on the battle for Marja. No one knows how many Taliban have dug in or died. Sometimes I wonder if I've ever left my post, still shouldering an old rusty M16, long out of ammo, stuck on Hill 477 in camouflage. I hate monsoons. It is peaceful where I live by the lake, far from sandbag bunkers. I haven't saluted an officer for years. I still call everyone sir or ma'am. I missed all the victory parades. I've thrown out all my ribbons and medals. But somewhere, the frontier past is unguarded. And like Du Phu, I wait patiently for new orders.
I mean, for those who don't have the kind of connection that you have, can you tell me about why that piece of work, why that poem is so close to you and so difficult?
Well, I certainly wasn't planning to write about it, but Du Phu's poem, let's say instead of adaptations or improvisations, that the poems are like, the classical poems are like triggers. They evoke something completely different, but in the same tone and ambience of the Chinese classical poem. Here is Du Phu's poem. I pass the night at General Headquarters, a clear night in harvest time. In the courtyard at headquarters, the Wu Tung trees grow cold. In the city by the river, I wake alone by the guttering candle. All night long, bugle calls disturb my thoughts. The splendor of the moonlight floods the sky. Who bothers to look at it? Whirlwinds of dust. I cannot write. The frontier pass is unguarded. It is dangerous to travel. 10 years wandering, sick at heart, I perch here like a bird on a twig, thankful for a moment's peace. So sometimes in jotting down some lines or getting started as with an adaptation of this poem, I don't really know where I'm going. Just sort of having been stunned by this poem, trying to write some kind of a response in a contemporary way, which has the same tone, the same emotional tenor of Du Phu's poem. I write, sometimes I wonder if I've ever left my post, still shouldering an old rusty M16, long out of ammo, stuck on Hill 477 in camouflage. I think Du Phu was also wondering about some things regarding military orders and isolation and all those things.
What connection do you hope to establish for the reader from your work to these Chinese poets that a lot of people, possibly a lot of Americans, may not have thought of before, may not have seen that connection?
Well, the book that I've written, I hope, stands on its own. But the book would also be complemented by reading Kenneth Rexroth's 100 Poems from the Chinese. Not one by one. A lot of individuals have read this book. It was a huge popular book in the early 70s. I'd never heard of it. Miss me. I think if I had arrived in Vietnam a little bit later and taken this book with me, I might have forgotten about it a few years ago and never come across it again. Oh, I read that. But these poems of the Chinese are quite evocative. Sometimes it's the loss of a child. Sometimes it's sailing down a river late at night with a candle. Sometimes it's gardening. Sometimes it's selling fish. I think there are more fish in this collection of poetry than I've ever written about. I've made the Chinese classical poems as connected as possible to another poet and to another city by a lake and several rivers, in trying to sort of let people know that these Chinese poets are very contemporary. But that's only through Kenneth Rexroth's way of looking at these poems. They are not pure translations. He had a team of translators who would give him the accurate translation, word for word. Sometimes there'll be no narrative there, just nouns, maybe verbs. And he just responded to those exact translations with his own poetic sensibilities of writing in the 1970s, sort of free verse and leaping poetry, and very personal. And I've done that myself as well. I've tried to make every poem have the title and name of the poet in my title, so that they are always poems about reading, which I hope makes the book a little bit different than another collection of poetry.
DeWitt Clinton is a poet and retired English professor from the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. He spoke with Lake Fex Becca Schimmel about his new book, By a Lake Near Moon, Fishing with the Chinese Masters. Boswell Book Company is hosting a virtual reading of the Book of Poetry Wednesday at 7:30.